Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Good morning. It is the Sports Junkies on 106.7 The Fan, also on the Team 980. The guys off today for Juneteenth, and Toby Altizer sitting in for the guys. Plenty to talk about today. If you'd like to hop in at any point throughout the show, feel free. Listener lines open throughout the show today. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. Want to get into some NBA discussion in the first hour. Ace Bailey, there's some reports going around that he's yet to work out for a team. He was supposed to have a workout with the 76ers either today or yesterday. I can't remember exactly when, but that was canceled as well. So I want to get into that discussion. He's falling down draft boards, it sounds like. I don't know if I buy it or not, but we'll get into that. Maybe the Wizards could potentially have some interest there. So we'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. Mike Rizzo was on with the Junkies yesterday. We'll replay some of those cuts, and I'll react to those, as well as talking about the Nationals and their losing streak. There was a very interesting article that I think caught some fans' ire, mine a little bit as well, about the Washington Commanders from Sam Fortier, which ironically I think might be his last Commanders article because now he's doing more just big national stuff for the Post. But he talked about luck and how much it played into last season for the Commanders and if it's going to be a big factor for this season. So we'll talk about that coming up at 8 o'clock. Craig Hoffman from the Team 980, the Hoffman Show, he's going to join us coming up at 8:30. And then we'll wrap up once again talking some Nationals. If you'd like to hop in at any point throughout the show, again, 800-636-1067. But that's where we got to start. I mean, I'm sitting over there in the press box at Nationals Park yesterday next to Grant Paulson, and we're trying to come up with some, you know, just topic ideas. I'm kind of hitting a writer's block. I'm like, well, what am I going to talk about tomorrow morning? Well, what's going on? They told me exactly what I needed to talk about when they lost their 11th straight game. And it's gotten to a weird point for me where, you know, I've been talking to some people over there, just other people covering the team. And, you know, sometimes when you cover teams, you can almost become a little bit cynical, and understandably so, right? You're around them all the time. You're talking to people all the time. You're there every single night, and you can kind of be a little bit cynical, and it definitely provides you a storyline when the team has lost 11 straight games. But I grew up a fan of this baseball team. You know, they came back to D.C. when I was 6 years old. So they've been a part of my life since I was a kid. You think back to 2010 when Steven Strasburg was making his debut. I remember getting Sports Illustrated for Kids back in the day. I don't even know if they still do that magazine. But I remember getting that back in 2009, 2010 timeframe, talking about how transformational Steven Strasburg could be. And he ends up becoming a Washington National. And so it kind of got me hooked on Nationals baseball as a kid. And honestly, since that time frame, this might be the worst stretch of baseball I've ever seen this team play. I know there's probably been worse stretches At points in their history, they've had a 12-game losing streak, which if they lose today, they very well could reach. I think back to 2023, just a couple of years ago, the first half of that baseball season felt like a chore to watch this baseball team. So I don't want to just be too in the moment. But compared to expectations and how the team is playing right now, this might be the hardest stretch of baseball that I've had to endure as a Nationals fan in my time cheering for this team since I really got into it around that Strasburg debut time, right? I mean, think about where you went after that Strasburg debut, and then, yes, you've had some lean years the last couple years, but it was more so understood that this team was going to struggle. You kind of understood when Juan Soto was traded that, okay, you're going into a full-on rebuild. You're going to have to reset this thing. And they'd already done that before. That's how you ended up with Steven Strasburg. That's how you ended up with Bryce Harper. And that's how you ended up in a good spot where you were from 2012 to 2019. But man, this is hard. I didn't necessarily buy the message that Mike Rizzo, Davey Martinez was preaching going into the season saying, hey, we're going to be more competitive this year. We're going to try this year. We're going to make sure that we're a ball club that is competitive to the end. You know, Davey's asked, what's a successful season? He says, getting into the postseason. I didn't necessarily buy any of that. But when that's your message, I'm going to hold you to it. When that's your message, even though the offseason didn't necessarily match that, I'm still going to hold you to it. I'm going to understand that you're also trying to hype these guys up a little bit. You're also trying to give some motivation to the guys. But I genuinely think that they thought this team was going to be much better than it was the last couple of years where they've won 71 games. And you look at them right now, and I don't know that they are. And some of it's frustration for the fans with the offseason, because you think about this offseason and the opportunity that this team had. And for me, I've held out some of the frustration that so many fans had had for year after year after year after we got past COVID, of thinking, okay, now's the time to spend, now's the time to spend, now's the time to spend. And the reason that I held out was because it didn't necessarily match up with the timeline to go sign someone big time a couple years ago. When James Wood is still a year and a half away from the bigs, well, it doesn't necessarily make sense then to go spend a lot of money because you're still waiting on your superstar to make it to the bigs, right? Similar thing with allowing, you know, a Dylan Cruz to make his debut and Mackenzie Gore and C.J. Abrams kind of establishing themselves. But when you look at where this team is at now, really the only guy that was left in the minor league system going into this season that was going to come up in the near future in terms of bats and really in terms of any big-time prospect, of the guys that were going to come up in the next couple of years and make a massive impact, there's only one. It's Brady House. And I've been thoroughly impressed by how he's looked in his first three big league games. Now, it's the Rockies, so take of it what you may, but you've also lost to the Rockies three straight times. And the hilarious part about this is we're talking about a historically bad team with the Rockies and not just like, oh, man, they're like the worst team we've seen in 15 years. Like, no, this is like the worst team in Major League Baseball history since the 20th century. Like, 1899 is the last time you saw a baseball team like this. And if I recall, it's the Cleveland Spiders. And the reason they were so bad is because their owner bought another team and traded all the players from the Cleveland Spiders to the team that he just bought. So players like Cy Young, players like that, great, all-time greats. You know, you obviously got the Cy Young Award, right, named after him. Those sorts of guys were all traded to the new team. And the team that was left bare bones is the one that's one of the worst, if not the worst, baseball team of all time. And the Colorado Rockies are trying to give them a run for their money, which, by the way, with the loss last night, the Washington Nationals have guaranteed that they're going to have a losing record against the Colorado Rockies this season. They are currently 3-4, or 2-4, excuse me. They're currently 2-4 because they were 2-1 in the series at Colorado, and then they're now 0-3 here. So 2-4 on the season against the Colorado Rockies. They'll have a chance today to at least salvage a game in this series and snap the 11-game losing streak. But this is the funny part about baseball. Last night, I actually thought they played some pretty good baseball. You say, well, they only put up the one run. Yeah, but if you watch the game, you understand that baseball's such a funny sport and that they crushed baseballs all night last night. And specifically, the one that stands out immediately to me is Brady House. Two outs, bases loaded, and he rips one. I think it was 110 off the bat. Looked like it was going to get by the third baseman. Orlando Arcia dives to his left, snares it, and there it goes. And you're just talking to people over there that work for the Nats, and just feels like the team is snake-bitten. You're trying to figure out anything. Because I'm watching the Colorado Rockies the other day, and this is what makes it so painful. If you'd lost 11 in a row, it's always going to be painful. But if you'd lost 11 in a row and you'd played the Dodgers for three, you'd played the Yankees for three, you'd played the Detroit Tigers for three, which, by the way, they're coming up next month. I'm hoping Tarek Skubal pitches here just so I get to watch him in person. He's an absolute star, but probably won't be good for the Nats. But if you'd faced those caliber of teams and you'd lost 11 straight, doesn't feel good, but it's a little more acceptable than what you've gotten over the last 11 days or however many days where you've seen them lose to the Mets. Okay. You've seen them lose to the Texas Rangers. Not a great team, but okay. Three against the Marlins. Really? Three against the Rockies. Really? And what baffles me is I'm watching, I think it was game two of the series, and CJ Abrams makes a play going to his right, deep in the hole, picks it, throws it across to Luis Garcia. Louis barely keeps his foot on the bag, but he does. And the Rockies end up challenging it. He's out at second base. That's a big league baseball play. I'm watching thinking, okay, that's a really good baseball play. And I'm watching the Rockies and Brenton Doyle, who won the Gold Glove over Jacob Young, who, by the way, was spectacular last night, Brenton Doyle. He was getting to everything that hung up in the air. You can understand why he was a Gold Glover watching him last night. But a couple of nights ago, he had a ball that he got to. I wouldn't say it was an easy catch by any means. Like, he had to go a long way. But he was there, and the ball pops in and out of his glove, and Louis ends up at third base on an E8, a three-base error, and then a wild pitch, and they score a run. And then there was another botched play at first base. And you're watching the Rockies. And I don't even think that one was an error with the botch play at first base, because I think it was a trying to turn two, but you can't assume the double play, so it wasn't an error. But, I mean, it's a pretty easy pick out of the dirt, or I don't even think it was in the dirt. I think it was close to the dirt, but he got to make that play. Regardless, you're watching the Colorado Rockies look like the Bad News Bears out there, and you're watching the Nationals go out there and occasionally look like a big league ball club, like a really good big league ball club. And yet you're losing to this team. You're losing to them. I just, baseball's so funny. It's just such a weird game. It's so crazy. We talk about how it feels like if you're hitting in bad luck, it's going to even out. You know, if you're hitting into some good luck, eventually you're going to run into some bad luck and it's going to even out. What the heck happened to the Nationals' luck? Right? I mean, at some point, the ball's got to bounce their way. Right? At some point, it's got to go their way. And look, we can dive into the repercussions that should happen from this. Should Davey be fired? Should Rizzo be back? All that stuff. We'll get into that in a little bit later. But it's just such a wild stretch for this team right now to have lost 11 in a row. Rizzo was on with the Junks yesterday and said he'd never experienced a 10-game losing streak. Now it's up to 11, so he's experienced an 11-game losing streak. One of the few guys that was in there that experienced it was Michael Soroka, because he was on that horrible White Sox team last year. It's just a weird spot to see this team at, where I don't even know what to make of it. Because if you want to look at the team as a whole and you want to look at their record, you're clearly disappointed. There's no question about that. If you look at where they're at right now, 30-44, after they were inching up on 500 at 30-33, they've proceeded to lose 11 straight. There's no chance you can tell me that you're positive on the team right now. No chance. So you look at the team as a whole, and you're like, man, it's tough to watch. But then at the same point, you might have three legit All-Star candidates. Three of them. All three came in the Soto trade. All three very young. All three looking like cornerstone, building block, franchise-type players. And that's James Wood, C.J. Abrams, Mackenzie Gore. So that's the weird part about this season. And this is where I think the Nationals ran themselves into some unnecessary trouble going into this season, right? You think about the message that I talked about earlier from Mike Rizzo, from Davey Martinez, and it almost feels like an unforced error here, where the last couple of years, you know, Grant and I talk about this all the time on Bustin' Loose Baseball, our podcast talking about the Nats. We have one before and after every series. You can check it out wherever you get your podcasts. But we talked about this the last couple of years. It's not as much about the wins and losses, which was getting frustrating and old, but when you think about last year, 2 years ago, it's not really about the wins and losses as much as I'm looking at the box score to see what CJ do tonight, what James Wood do tonight, how'd McKenzie pitch, how'd Jake Irvin look. And so, last couple of years, if they were in this same sort of stretch, yeah, it'd be frustrating losing 11 in a row. It's always going to be frustrating losing 11 in a row. It feels almost impossible. It's kind of hard to do. You figure at some point you're going to have, especially against the Colorado Rockies, right? They're throwing out Carson Palmquist. You ever heard of Carson Palmquist? Me either. They're throwing Herman Marquez, who once was good, but came in with an ERA over 6. They're throwing a guy who was 1-10 on the season with a 7 ERA in Antonio Senzatella in game 2 of the series. And by the way, got his second win of the year. Both wins came against who? Your Washington Nationals. You would think that at some point, though, that the inning that the Rockies had against Cole Henry and Jackson Rutledge, where it was just a home run derby at Nationals Park, you would have thought that the Nationals would run into that at some point, right? They're facing horrible pitching. Surely they're going to throw a couple meatballs that you can feast on. Nope. And maybe they did. They just missed them. It's just a weird time. But the point of this is, I think they ran themselves into some trouble by their messaging. Their messaging down in West Palm Beach, and we're down there for spring training, is, hey, this team is built to win. I don't know about that, but that's the message that they gave. And so in turn, fans started to believe that, okay, maybe this team does take the next step. You know, when you look at even the Vegas win totals, it wasn't great. It was 71.5, I believe, is the over-under. But that's still up from what had been the last couple of years, where both years, I think in 2023 and 2024, it was 66.5. So they're thinking 5 wins better, because they went over that win total both of the last 2 years. And if you go at 71.5 when they've won 71 games, well, clearly they think the team is improving. But the messaging of, hey, we're going to go for a playoff run, we're going to try to make a playoff run, we're going to try to get into the wild card, put some expectations on this team. And I think fans started to see the light. And there's nothing wrong with that. Fans started to see the vision of, okay, they're going in the right direction, and they could be there. And what made it so frustrating, though, was understanding the limitations and the missteps. You know, you're watching the beginning of the season, and you're like, man, they're a competitive baseball team. They just need a bullpen. And so immediately you go, well, ownership could have given them a few more dollars, right, to work with. They could have used maybe another bat in the lineup, but specifically with the bullpen that was looking like one of the worst in Major League history in the first month of the season, you're thinking, oh, okay, if they would have spent a little bit money, I understand where Rizzo's coming from. Then you get to the point where you go, well, Mike Rizzo's not without blame here either, because last year he brought in Dylan Floro. Last year he brought in Derek Law, and Law at some point is going to be back for this ball club, and he's going to be a big addition to the bullpen, but probably too late now. I mean, again, we were not that long ago talking about this team being 3 games under 500 and potentially at least being interesting for a while. 30-44, you're not digging out of that hole. You're not digging out of that hole. I know they dug out of 19-31, but they had a lot better players on that team and numerous better players on that team. Not to say that this team doesn't have good players. We've just talked about CJ and McKenzie and James Wood. But they don't have the number. They don't have the depth. They don't have as good of a roster. I don't think anyone would argue that. Obviously, that 2019 team went on to win the World Series. But I think they ran into trouble by trying to preach this message and in turn raising the expectations. And by the way, I'm all for raising expectations, because as someone that covered the team, as someone that's also a fan of the team, I was getting pretty sick of the, hey, man, who cares if they win or lose today? Let's just check out how CJ did. I was getting pretty sick of that because not that long ago, but also feels like a long time ago, it was about wins and losses. You went for a decade stretch near, right? Basically, once Strasburg made his debut, they acquired Jason Worth the following year, Bryce Harper's debuting, and then you finally make the playoffs in 2012 through eventually capping it off in 2019 with the World Series. Obviously, you still had expectations in 20. You had some expectations in 21. So basically, for a decade, it was about wins and losses. It was about, we got to go out there and, to quote Davey, go 1-0 today. But for whatever reason, with how poorly the team was playing, it went the other way where it wasn't about those wins and losses. And I get the messaging that Rizzo and Davey were trying to send out, saying, look, we're trying to turn the corner here. I think they're getting sick of the rebuild stuff too. Not to say they don't have the patience to see it through, but you think it's fun for them to lose every night? No, it's not. So I think the big thing was they laid out this message and fans started to see it, and then they proceed to go on an 11-game losing streak. And stuff had already started wearing thin with the coaching staff, with Davey over time, and then it just accentuates itself with the comments on Saturday. It's just a bad time right now for the Nationals. They could use a win in the absolute worst way. And even if they win today, it's a tough spot to be in because now you go on the road to take on the Dodgers. You take on the Padres. You're not going to be favored in any of those games. You take on the Angels. And then you come home and you get one of the best teams in the league in the Detroit Tigers and then the Red Sox after that. So even if they win today, snap the losing streak, you could go 5-10 in your next 15. You also could go 10-5. That's baseball. That's what's so funny about it. This team's already beat the Dodgers in a series at Nationals Park. That's the funny part about this game. Anything can happen, but it has been very, very bad for the Washington Nationals. We're going to dive into that a little bit deeper as the show goes on, but 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. I do want to talk a little NBA. There's some reports coming out about Ace Bailey, one of the top prospects in the NBA draft. Apparently, he's not working out for any teams. Is that a little bit concerning? And what do you make of it? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Welcome back. It is the Sports Junkies, 106.7 The Fan, Team 980. Guys off today for Juneteenth. Toby Altizer sitting in for them. We'll get back into the Nationals in just a little bit. Plenty of time going to be spent on the Curly W's as they've lost 11 straight games. But coming up in a week is the NBA draft. And there's some news swirling around about a guy who I assume was going to go top three. I kind of assume that number one, we all know who that's going to be. That's going to be Cooper Flagg. Number two is going to be Dylan Harper. I would say most likely 95-99% sure that Dylan Harper's going two. And then I assumed third was going to be Ace Bailey, Dylan Harper's teammate at Rutgers. And Ace Bailey's been someone that throughout the college season has been talked very highly of. Very, very talented kid. He's got all the skills you could want. I think there are some things that are red flags for me, and we're going to get into whether the Wizards could end up with him at six. There are some red flags with his game. If I were the Sixers drafting at number three, I wouldn't touch him. If I were the Spurs or the Mavs, he wouldn't even be on my board, understanding that I'm going to go Flagg or Harper. To me, I would take a VJ Edgecombe over him, maybe even a Trey Johnson. But at six, he gets intriguing for the Wizards. But the reason I bring this up, Ace Bailey was set to fly out to visit the 76ers tomorrow. He was going to have a private workout, going to have a dinner, meet with the team, and he canceled that yesterday. And the reason that's notable is he's canceled with everybody. He's the only U.S.-based prospect that hasn't visited a single team yet. He's declined invitations from multiple teams in his draft range, which is considered to be anywhere from number three to number eight. This is from Jonathan Givony and Shams Charania of ESPN, saying that Cooper Flagg, Dylan Harper, we understand those two are likely to go one and two. The Sixers are at number three. They haven't ruled out selecting Ace Bailey, despite the fact that he just turned down their workout. They've drafted players in the past without a private workout. Tyrese Maxey, Jared McCain. Both those guys have worked out just fine. But this gets really interesting because I assumed that Ace Bailey was going to be gone. And for the Wizards now at six, if you look at ESPN's latest mock draft, that's who they have mocked to, the Wizards, at number six. I think Jonathan Givony does this mock draft. He has Flagg going number one, Dylan Harper number two. He has Edgecombe going number three to the Sixers, Con Knipple out of Duke going four to the Hornets, and Trey Johnson going to the Jazz at five, which leaves the Wizards with the chance to take Ace Bailey. And he gets so intriguing because all season long, when you talked about Ace Bailey, the way that he was talked about is as a 6'10 guy, 6'9, 6'10 guy that can do a little bit of everything, has a really nice shooting touch. And then you get him to the combine, he ain't 6'10. Not to say that he doesn't have size, he's 6'7 and a half without shoes, but that's a little bit different than a 6'10 guy and a 6'7 guy. That's a big difference. I know it's only a couple of inches, but that's a big difference in terms of what you're expecting, because the big red flags for me with Ace Bailey's game, I don't know how he fits the modern NBA, because the modern NBA does not like mid-range jumpers, or at least modern basketball does not like mid-range jumpers. That's kind of the that's the shot that is, quote-unquote, the least efficient, according to analytics. Because you think about it, right? If you can shoot, let's say you shoot 60% from mid-range. Maybe it's a little bit lower than that. If you shoot 40% from three, and you shoot 80% on layups, well, give me the 80% on layups and 40% on threes versus the 60% and probably a little bit lower in the mid-range. That's kind of the analytics model of why the mid-range jumper is being phased out. You know, I tell people this all the time. There's not many famous alumni from the college that I went to, Maranatha Baptist University in Watertown, Wisconsin. Shout out the Sabercats. Might be one of the weirdest and craziest mascots in college sports, which is saying something. But regardless, one of the famous alumni, aside from me, of course, is Nate Oates, head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide. And he is a very analytical head coach to the point that when he has his team scrimmage in practice, he has a special point system where layups count as usual, free throws count as usual, I think three-pointers count as usual as well. Anything in the mid-range, not in the paint, counts as 1 point. So you can shoot it. Doesn't do you a whole lot of good. It's the same as a free throw to them in terms of value, 1 point. So they don't shoot a lot of mid-range jumpers if you watch Alabama play college basketball. They just don't. It's not a big part of their game. If you watch Ace Bailey this year, it's a lot of what he shot. Nothing wrong with it. He can knock down the shots. My concern about him is how many difficult shots he had to take at Rutgers. He had to take a lot of tough shots, and he knocked down a lot of them to his credit. I mean, you look at his numbers last season, and he was impressive. 17.6 points per game, 7 rebounds, shooting 46%. He's an incredibly athletic kid, long wingspan. But I question if you're having to settle for so many difficult mid-range pull-up twos in the college game, how's that going to translate to the pro game? You're not going to hit as many of those in the pro game, and that's not the shot that NBA coaches want. If you can move that back a little bit and you can start hitting those from the NBA range three, they'll live with that. But I'm interested in how his game fits in the modern NBA in terms of what he does. The other thing that's a huge red flag, and part of the reason that I wouldn't be very interested with him at 1, 2, or 3 if I were one of those teams, I don't think his handle is very good at all. He's a very straight line drive kind of guy, and he's not super strong. He's kind of wiry. 6'10", 200 is what he was listed at in college. He's listed after the combine as 6'7 and a half, 202. He's got a little bit, but he's pretty wiry. He's got long arms, 7 foot, wingspan, standing reach of 8'11. So he's wiry. But for a guy that's a straight line driver, like think about when you're thinking straight line driver in the NBA right now, I think of Giannis, right? You think of a guy getting downhill to the cup. And you kind of need somebody that's a little bit bulkier. Ace doesn't necessarily have that. Not to say that he can't get there. He can definitely build strength. And I think when you're drafting an Ace Bailey, you're not expecting him to come in his rookie season and average 20 points a game. He's a project. Not to say that he's going to take forever and he can't even get on the floor as a rookie, but he's someone who's going to take some time to develop to get to that level versus, I think, a Harper is a lot more of a finished product. Obviously, Cooper Flagg is much more of a finished product. But I'm not a huge fan of his handle. It's kind of loose to me. I'd have to think back to guys that were coming out of college with that kind of a pedigree that had that loose of a handle. But I wasn't overly impressed with his ability to dribble the basketball. All things that maybe you can improve on. That being said, with those major red flags to me, if he's available at 6 for the Wizards, I'd be totally down. I can't take him at 1, 2, or 3, but at 6, when some of these other guys are already off the board, where Trey Johnson's gone, I'm not super interested in Con Knipple, even though I think he's a pretty good player. Edgecombe would be someone that I'd be super interested in. If those guys are gone, Ace Bailey's there, sign me up. Because the guys that are going behind in this mock draft, Jeremiah Fears at 7, I'd be interested. The issue I have with Jeremiah Fears, and he's someone that's kind of red flag to me too, is I have a hard time drafting guards that can't shoot, or at least struggle shooting. And Fears has a little bit of that in his game, but he is incredibly explosive. And if you watch the Oklahoma, especially in the NCAA tournament, was really what put me onto him. I mean, he just got to wherever he wanted. I mean, it was incredible seeing him be able to just do whatever he wanted with the basketball. So I'd be intrigued, but I have a tough time taking a guy that's 6'2", that struggles from the outside. I've talked a lot about this guy, Kamen Malawach, the center from Duke, 7-footer, 252, a little bit more of your traditional big. You think center in the NBA, prototypical kind of guy, you think Malawach. And he kind of fits the mold of the older center, that he's going to play inside, he's going to be a rim protector, he's not going to shoot threes. But he also fits the modern game in that he can move. He can get up and down the floor. He's not super fast, but he's a little bit more mobile than some of the older traditional bigs. And I think the reason that I got turned on to Malawach was David Aldridge was talking to Doc, I believe it was Memorial Day, and brought up the idea of what the Oklahoma City Thunder are doing with Hartenstein to kind of help out Chet Holmgren, where Chet can play the true four, play on the perimeter, on defense, can be that help side guy, kind of chase down blocks and help out on the other side and be a big-time threat for anyone coming inside the paint as a help defender. You could do something like that with the Wizards by putting Malawach in the middle and having Sar eventually turn into kind of that floater like Chet Holmgren on defense. And it allows to free him up on the offensive end to be on the outside. So that one intrigues me. There's some other guys here that are interesting. Derek Queen, Chase Hughes has mentioned, Igor Demin. If Ace Bailey's there at 6, run the card in. And I told you all the red flags for why I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of Ace Bailey. But in the NBA draft, you draft for upside. You don't draft Bilal Coulibaly if you're not drafting for upside. You don't draft a Bub Carrington or someone like that. Even an Alex Sarr last year, if you're not drafting for upside. That's how you draft in the NBA. You look for that superstar. I don't know if Ace Bailey has it. I would bet against it personally. But of the guys that are available after that, I would think that Ace has the highest ceiling. And I think if he falls to 6, this could get real interesting. But I wonder what's going on here. The fact that he's canceling all these workouts, is there maybe a team that's down the board a bit that's looking at him saying, if he can fall into this range, maybe it's even the 5th pick, 4th pick, if he can fall a little bit, we'll trade up and go get Ace Bailey because they believe in him. I don't know what's going on. It's an odd look for a prospect not to work out with any teams. But regardless, I think if Ace Bailey's available at 6 for the Wizards, that's something you really got to consider. Let's take a break. You're listening to the Sports Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Toby Altizer sitting in for the guys here on Juneteenth.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
but not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Continuing on, it is the Sports Junkies. Toby Altizer sitting in for the guys here today on Juneteenth. We'll get back into the Nationals coming up at 7 o'clock. Mike Rizzo was on with the guys yesterday. I want to play some of the audio from that and react to that. Craig Hoffman going to join us coming up at 8:30. We'll get into some of the Commanders, also get his thoughts on the NBA draft coming up next week. But a couple more things in the association before we get back into basketball, or baseball, excuse me. We have NBA Finals coming up tonight. Might be a closeout game. Tyrese Halliburton looking like he's a game-time decision, probably leaning more so on the other way of him not playing tonight for Indiana. If that's the case, I think OKC definitely wins this one. They win the title. I think that's a good thing for the NBA. You know, something that's interesting that I don't know that we have time for today, but a discussion around who the next face of the NBA could be. Because, you know, LeBron, how many more years does he have? Who knows? Maybe a year, maybe more. But it's not long. Steph Curry, kind of coming toward the end of his career as well. Kevin Durant, guys that have been the stalwarts of the NBA. And by the way, the stalwarts of Team USA in basketball, I'm a little bit worried about what the U.S. Olympic team's going to look like. I mean, they are struggling as is when you have the old guard going toe-to-toe with all these teams and Steph Curry looking like Captain America over in Paris. Well, in L.A. in 2028, you can't not win the gold medal, right? So I'm a little bit interested to see who's going to kind of take over that. But who's the next face of the NBA? You know, to me, it felt like it was supposed to be and kind of gearing up to be Anthony Edwards. But I think the NBA might have accidentally fallen into a perfect scenario where they kind of got their guy with whoever wins the NBA Finals this year. If it was going to be Tyrese Halliburton, that would have been fine, because then you would have ended up with a star that might not even be one of the faces of the league, might not even be, I don't know, is Tyrese Halliburton a top five player in the league? I don't think so. I think he's a good player, but there are still some shortcomings. But you could have ended up with a guy that had a lot of star power that wasn't your traditional superstar in terms of he's not always the most aggressive. His bag, quote-unquote, isn't the deepest. But then you look on the other side, and you got the MVP of the league that still somehow feels slept on in SGA. So I think whoever ends up winning the series could take over that role in the future as the star of the NBA. But the other one that I think is interesting is yesterday, the Lakers were sold at a valuation of $10 billion. That's incredible. $10 billion. So just giving you an idea, Washington, the Commanders, were sold to the Harris Ownership Group for just over $6 billion. The San Francisco 49ers sold a minority stake earlier this year. The team was valued at $8.6 billion. A couple of years ago, the Celtics sold for $6.1 billion, or in March, excuse me, and the Mavericks sold for $3.5, which, by the way, Magic was thrilled. Minority owner of the Commanders, Magic Johnson, which is still crazy to think about. Magic Johnson was thrilled that the Boston Celtics sold for six and the Lakers were worth 10. He tweeted as much. Said, just like I thought, when the Celtics sold for $6 billion, I knew the Lakers were worth $10 billion. That rivalry continues on for Magic Johnson, understandably so. But $10 billion, $10 billion is what the Lakers were valued at. Sportico had the Dallas Cowboys valued at $10.32 billion, the Warriors valued at $9.14 billion, the Knicks valued at $8.3 billion, and the Yankees at $7.93 billion. I got to think, if the Lakers are valued at 10, I would think the Cowboys got to be like 12 minimum, right? Which is crazy to think about. You're getting to a place now, which is why the NFL is looking into ways that they're going to change the rules of how you can get into ownership. Because as soon as you start getting into these sorts of numbers, which I don't think the Jones family is moving off the Cowboys anytime soon, but you heard, you saw with Washington how hard it was to get together everybody so that you could end up with the $6 billion for the Commanders. Think about that with some of the other franchises. The Niners, like I just said in this article, $8 billion. How many people are able to come up with that? It's crazy to see the number that these sports franchises are going for. I want to see if I can find this and look where what Jerry Buss bought the Lakers for and what they sold for now in the valuation. Because, look, I understand inflation and all this stuff, but Jerry Buss, since buying the team, the team has been incredible, a 604 winning percentage, and it sounds like Jeannie Buss is still going to be the governor of the team, so she's still going to be a big part of the team. He bought the Lakers for $67 million in 1979 and turned it around for a valuation of $10 billion. Now, I'm curious how much they're selling of this thing. They're selling a majority, but I'm curious how much they're selling. But that's crazy to think a $10 billion valuation for the Los Angeles Lakers. But they're such a global brand. They're so big. The other thing that's intriguing about this is the discussion that I've seen from various people around basketball saying that it's going to be interesting to see how this changes the operations for the Los Angeles Lakers. In terms of, Jeannie Buss is still in charge. That's not what I'm referring to. But are they going to have some more capital to be able to do some things? And the reason I find that interesting is it's a salary cap sport. Now, some of it with basketball is you can go into the aprons. I can't even break it all down. NBA salary cap stuff is so confusing to me. But some of it is if you want to put together a super team of sorts and you want to pay more guys, you can do that. You just have to pay a tax of sorts, and that comes out of your own pocket. If that's the case, maybe the Lakers can get to another level there, because there were some questions about how much actual capital the Buss family had to work with at this point to try to put them over the top, considering they're competing against guys like Steve Ballmer in their own city who just have money out the wazoo and kind of do whatever they want. But it'll be interesting to see, because you got the Los Angeles Lakers, who have seemingly had the advantage for a long, long time, and now maybe they have that monetary advantage once again. But it's still a salary cap sport. It's not like Steve Cohen buying the Mets. It's not like you can just spend whatever you want. It's still salary cap, but it'll be interesting to see how it changes. But a $10 billion valuation, could you imagine? Speaking of a team that's not valued at $10 billion, the Washington Nationals. Mike Rizzo was on with the Junkies yesterday. I want to hear some of what he had to say. I'll react to it next here on the Sports Junkies on Juneteenth.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave Butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.